We're going to open our Bibles tonight to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, which is where we'll be focusing our attention tonight. My wife said to me, "You've chosen a good title, Filling Big Shoes." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, Pastor was supposed to be preaching tonight." I hadn't thought of that, but let's just pray before we open the Word, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We just pray that as we open the Word, that it would be your Word to us and not men's thoughts, not men's ideas. And we pray that each one of us will be prepared to be challenged and encouraged, and let your Word work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to read the first 10 verses of Joshua chapter 1 to give us the picture of what we're looking at tonight. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying. Sometimes in life, whether it be at work or at school or in any activity, sometimes we can be faced a task and we have that feeling of, how on earth am I going to achieve this that's before me? That feeling of helplessness, that feeling of being overwhelmed by that which is before us. And a good way to illustrate this is to consider our gardens. And imagine you have taken advantage of the good weather we've been having and decided to go out and clean your garden up, prune some trees, and you get a bit carried away, and the result is a large amount of twigs and branches on the ground. And you sit there beside this humongous pile of twisted branches and twigs, all intertwined at different angles, and you feel overwhelmed. The enormous task of cutting up these mountains into small pieces to be able to move it away seems overwhelming and depressing. And you're tired from all the work beforehand, as it is. So then you do what every self-respecting gardener does, you procrastinate. And you walk away. And then the rain comes, and the dead wood becomes mushy. Spiders and bugs move into the new housing development that you've got on your back lawn. And we won't even mention what the neighbour's cat might do. And let's say you finally summoned up the courage to actually try and get started on this task and clear away this mess. But the whole thing is hopelessly overwhelming. It's like it's grown and it's disgusting. And your mind is screaming at you, let's not do this. I can't do this. And I'm sure you have a gift of what I mean, that overwhelmed feeling that you can get. And here in Joshua chapter 1, we have Joshua and we have the Lord handing the reins over to Joshua. And you can see clearly in verse 2, Joshua, the Lord says, my servant Moses is dead. Now you arise, you go over Jordan, you Joshua, lead these people into the promised land. And I think we can gain an insight into how Joshua felt at that moment. And that brings us to our first point, Joshua's fear. Now you might say, Joshua didn't have any concerns. Why are you making out that Joshua was afraid and overwhelmed by the task before him? Isn't this the Joshua, the young man who refused to bring an evil report when he was sent into the promised land as one of the 12 spies some 40 years earlier? Isn't this Joshua, the son of Nun, who was Moses' right-hand man for the whole time the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness since they left Egypt? Yes, it's this Joshua. But notice, as we read, three times God exhorts Joshua to be strong and of good courage. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. And note especially in verse 9, he says, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Think about what Joshua had before him. Think about Joshua's experience. He'd been there with Moses in the wilderness. And he knew whose shoes he had to step into. And they were very big shoes. Turn back to Deuteronomy, the last chapter, chapter 34. And let's just read the summary of Moses as he dies and is mourned, there in verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 34. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, who the Lord knew face to face. And it's obvious as you read through the book of Joshua just how much respect Joshua had for Moses. Note in verse 1, of Joshua chapter 1. Now for the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Moses, the servant of the Lord. And throughout the whole book of Joshua, every time Joshua speaks of Moses, he says, Moses, the servant of the Lord. Verse 13 of chapter 1, you see Moses, the servant of the Lord. Verse 15 of chapter 1, Moses, the Lord's servant. Chapter 8 and verse 31. Again, Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord's servant. In fact, that title, Moses, the servant of the Lord, appears more in the book of Joshua than anywhere else in the Bible. In comparison, Joshua is only called the servant of the Lord once in the last chapter of Joshua, and it's more like a eulogy after his death. And yes, Joshua knew, as you read through Exodus, he knew exactly how big the shoes were that he was to fill, that God expected him to fill. He saw firsthand He was there at the side of Moses at nearly every incident you read of in the book of the Exodus and through the other books that Moses wrote. Yes, Joshua was feeling overwhelmed. He was feeling weak. He was perhaps even feeling unable, afraid, dismayed. And we must admit that we often feel like that. Sometimes things seem to build up and become mountains too high for us to climb. Too much pressure, too much to do and no time to do it. It's a familiar situation, and even more so in the days in which we live where everything is so fast-paced. Perhaps we feel that the Christian walk is too hard, too many opposing you, too many problems and issues trying to walk the Christian's walk. Too hard to try and be holy as God commands us to be holy in this wicked world. Too many temptations. It's just too much. I can't do this. So how did Joshua overcome and go on to lead the children of Israel to so many victories in overcoming the land? You read through the book of Joshua, it's victory and victory and victory. And Joshua became a great, mighty man in leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Let's consider our second point, God's command. Now, if you were to ask the world, how do I overcome this feeling of not being able to perform, not being this overwhelmment that I have, this feeling of it's too much, I can't do it. You know, you would be advised to think about your self-worth, to think positive. You're you. You're it. You can do it. You just have to think great things about yourself. But here we see God giving Joshua a command. And he also gives them some promises as well. We'll look at the promises next. We see in verse 9 that God definitely is giving Joshua a command here. He says there, "Have not I commanded thee?" God asked Joshua, "Haven't I commanded thee?" And part of being strong and courageous means trusting the Lord as the source of all strength. Joshua didn't have all the answers for the challenges that lay before him, but the Lord commanded him to be strong and of a good courage, to go forward, to act in faith, because the Lord would be with him. Like Joshua, we seldom have all the answers to our personal challenges, but there is comfort in knowing that when we turn to the Lord for guidance, we will succeed because he has given the answer. He has the answers that we need. He was with Joshua, and he will be with us. You know, being strong and courageous seldom requires grand gestures. You don't have to do much to be strong and courageous. More often, it requires integrity to make those small decisions every day that turn our heart to our Lord and our God. And each day, we need to prayerfully seek his direction, study his word and follow his example, and we'll have the strength and the courage to let go of our fear and face our trials with courage and strength with faith. Consider those challenges that you're facing. And as you turn to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, in faith and follow his command to be strong and of a good courage, you will have that sweet assurance that he is near. Now, we've already noted that God repeated his command to Joshua three times in this chapter, verses 6, 7 and 9. I just quickly want to go through those three occasions and point out a few things that in these commandments God gave Joshua to be strong and of good courage. And the first one in verse 6 there, which says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people. This instance is linked to Joshua's future dealings with the people of Israel. Now, Joshua knew firsthand what it was like to deal with this group of people. He'd seen the grumbling. He'd seen the discontent. He'd seen what these people were like. He would no doubt have a crystal clear picture in his mind of that time when he walked down from Mount Sinai with Moses and saw the people worshipping the golden calf and the sinful debauchery they'd gotten themselves into in the process. He would remember clearly, even more clearly, that time when the people rejected the good report that he himself and Caleb had brought out of the promised land, and the people chose to take the bad report from the other spies and they wandered for 40 years as punishment in the wilderness. Joshua would have clear memories of all the events in the wilderness, of the people blaming Moses for their discomfort. God knew that Joshua needed strength and courage for the task of leading this group of people into the promised land. We often face things in our own lives that seem scary and unachievable. Joshua was no doubt thinking, I wish Moses was still here. I wish I could just stand behind him again and just nod my head and let Moses do the talking and the leading. How often are we tempted to step back and let someone else do the hard tasks that we want to dodge? We're often guilty of that. We're tempted to stand behind someone else. We need to take on board the command that God gave Joshua. Be strong and of good courage and face the people. Lead the people. We all need this. I need this. Strength and courage to face people. It's probably one of the hardest things, to stand up for our faith, to stand up what is for right, to stand up for the name of our Lord and our God, to be strong and of a good courage with people. And Joshua needed that. The second time God commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous is in the next verse, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe and do according to all the law. This time the command is ever so slightly different. It says, be strong and very courageous. There's a little bit of more emphasis here on the courageous part. Why the emphasis here? Could this commandment be more challenging than facing the people? And adding the word very seems to highlight the instructions here about keeping the law, keeping the law, keeping the word of God. You know, verse 6 on its own is only 28 words. Verse 9 on its own is only 30 words. Here the charge in verse 7 includes verse 8 as well. And there's a total of 91 words in this section devoted to this charge to Joshua to be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law. We can see that God has placed an emphasis on this charge more than the previous one and the following one. God infers here that keeping the law would be the key to Joshua's success. And it's interesting to note that God's instructions to Joshua here in chapter 1 are not military instructions. Here is Joshua about to enter the promised land and face many military battles to overtake the land. However, the key to his success were spiritual charges directly related to the degree of his obedience to his God. The keys to Joshua's success were rooted in God's word and not in any military might, not any great army. And we see there in verse 7 that God charges Joshua to observe the law and not to turn from the law, not to the right or to the left. You get the idea of forging or marching straight ahead, no flinching, no turning, straight forward. Then in verse 8, God charges him to keep the book of the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Memorization is inferred here. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, Joshua. You should be able to speak God's word. It should be in your head and in your heart. That thou mayest, and he says, meditate day and night in the word of God, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. This is a very important charge for Joshua. And the amount of words given to this charge indicates that God thought this charge was going to be more important than facing the people. To keep the law. Be strong, Joshua, and very courageous. Keep my law, is how you could sum it up. And for us, our law is God's word. Keep my word is the charge. Read my word. Obey my word. Memorize my word. Meditate on my word. For us, that's the challenge. Can we be strong and very courageous and keep the words of God? To do as he commands us in his word. Do we obey what he says? Or do we tend to be weak and cowardly and say, this part of God's word doesn't apply to me. I don't need to obey that part or this part. How strong and courageous are we? You know, there's a conditional promise given to Joshua here by the Lord in these verses, which turns our attention to God's promise. See the last part of verse 8. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Notice the word then. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. For then thou shalt have good success. Joshua, keep my law. For then and only then will you make your way prosperous, Joshua. For then and only then will you have good success, Joshua. The condition was to keep my law, and for us to keep his word. To read it, obey it, memorize it, meditate it. You can see it through verses 7 and 8. Keep the law, meditate, observe to do. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and for then thou shalt have good success. The result, or the then, for Joshua was keeping the law, and then he was guaranteed to prosper in his ways. And to have success. And Joshua's obedience to God's law guaranteed this. Many Christians make passages such as this in the Old Testament that speak of prosperity and success. They turn it into a prosperity gospel. Follow God and you'll be successful and wealthy. It's not true. It's not true. And sadly, there are many preachers who preach this false gospel. And Christians who do not succeed or not financial well off, these are condemned as living in some persistent sin or lacking in proper faith. Much could be said about this. Let's just summarise it with 3 points quickly. First, the message of the book of Job points precisely in the opposite direction as that argued by these prosperity preachers. Job was stripped of his financial wealth and his earthly treasures for reasons that had nothing to do with any lack of faith or obedience. Job was upright in the eyes of God. Job's wealth was restored again at the end of the book of Job, but he came to a position of peace with God and acceptance of God's will in his life before that happened. And as you read, secondly, as you read the book of Proverbs, which contains many statements about wealth and prosperity, it gives us a clear, balanced view of wealth. Proverbs does emphasise the restraints that God has placed on gaining wealth. It's not to be achieved through deceit, using false balances, shifting boundary markers, or through oppression of the poor. But there is verses in Proverbs, and you can make a note of these references. Proverbs 23 verses 4 and 5 and Proverbs 30 verses 7 to 9. And those passages in Proverbs show us that wealth is not the ultimate good to be sought, or it's not even guaranteed by God. Third, the two words we find here in our passage in Joshua, speaking of prosperity and success, are almost never used in the Old Testament to speak of financial success. Rather, they speak of succeeding in life's endeavours. And this happens when people's lives are focused entirely on God and obedience to Him. And the focus of Joshua's endeavours was not to be prosperous and successful, but rather towards holiness and obedience towards God's law. As believers, our consuming obsession should be to be like Christ, to be more holy as He is holy, to love like God loves, to keep His word, and to fear God. And when this happens, God does bless, though sometimes it's not in the way we want. Jesus, in the New Testament, He said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things, food, drink, clothing, will be given to you as well." Our priority is to seek God. Put Him first. Put Him first in every part of our lives and every facet. And keep Him first in our lives. It's easy to put Him first in our life on Sunday. What about the rest of the week? Do we keep God first? Do we seek God first? And as God promised to Joshua, then and only then will our strength and courage increase. And then we can make our ways prosper and we shall have good success. And at danger of repeating myself, the condition: keep God's word. Read, obey, memorise, meditate on God's word. And as we read through the rest of Joshua, we see that Joshua did indeed heed God's charge, and Joshua overcame. In verse 9, God gave Joshua the third and final charge. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." You know, this charge comes with an unconditional promise attached. God did not say to Joshua, "Be strong and of a good courage, then I'll be with thee. Don't fear and be dismayed, then I'll be with thee." No, He doesn't say that. He says, "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." God promises to Joshua and to us, "The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." God is with us, wherever we go. God is with us. What a promise. What a blessing. And how much more courage and strength should we have if we remember that God is with us? God is there. It's good to remember that Joshua here in Joshua chapter 1 wasn't the young man that went into the promised land as a spy those 40 odd years before. Joshua had served Moses for those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. He and Caleb were the only ones of their generation to survive because of their faith. So Joshua could have been 60 odd years old or even older at the beginning of the book of Joshua here, when God commits to him and charges him with leading the children of Israel into the promised land. And the challenge for us is we shouldn't let our age stop us from being like Joshua and rising to the challenge and being strong and of good courage. Even young people. As young people, often we have big shoes to fill in front of us. As you come into service, as you start stepping up, there's big shoes to fill, big tasks, big responsibilities to be done. Young Joshua rose to the challenge to serve Moses in his youth, to be bold and stand beside Moses in front of that often raging mob of people who were on the point of killing Moses at times. Yet young Joshua rose to the challenge back then, and he had the strength and the courage to face the people and give them that good report which they rejected about the spying out of the land. And here we have the older Joshua, And in verse 10, we can see that he rose to the challenge. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. There's no gap between from when the Lord spoke to him and then Joshua's out there commanding the people. No sign of Joshua waiting, biding his time. Straight into the task. Straight into the task. Commanding the first steps of that great invasion of the promised land. Young or old, Joshua was strong and of a good courage. And he was just a man. He was just human like us. And it appears he probably had a squeamish moment here as he realised Moses was gone and he had to step up to the challenge. And he had to reinvigorate, as it were, his strength and courage. And just to wrap it up for us, if we turn over to First Chronicles, chapter 22. Just to show you some similarities here. Here we have in this chapter David, King David, giving a charge to his son Solomon. And it's interesting to see the similarities between this charge and the one the Lord gave Joshua. Verse 13 of 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of a good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. You'd almost think David was reading Joshua chapter 1. Same words, slightly different order, but you get the same message. Then thou shalt thou prosper if thou take heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses. Be strong and of a good courage. Dread not, fear not, nor be dismayed. You know, this was another leader in the making, King Solomon. David was passing the baton to Solomon. Just the same as we see God passing the baton from Moses to Joshua. And we see the same charge given to both. In both cases, God's chosen leader was to focus on knowing and obeying God's laws. You know, the term used in Joshua 1:8, to be successful, we find that word a total of 78 times in the Old Testament, most commonly with the meaning of having insight, understanding, being wise, to have success. And in all these cases, almost without exception, success is to be achieved because individuals seek the Lord earnestly or carefully obey his commandments. We began the message tonight thinking about tasks that seem unachievable. Tasks and things that seem like mountains before us and we can't climb them. More than just the clippings off the tree in the garden. Things that seem beyond our abilities. Success seems way out of reach. But we see clearly that success in the Bible is associated very closely with obeying God's law or the covenant. Hezekiah was a good king who trusted the Lord, clung to him. And it says of him in 2 Kings 18, verse 5 and 6, he kept the commandments the Lord had given Moses. As a result of that, he enjoyed God's presence with him and he was successful in whatever he did. 2 Kings 18, 7. King David succeeded because God was with him. He was a man after God's own heart. And the text of 1 Samuel 13, 14 implies that he kept the Lord's command. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, speaks of false religious leaders who did not seek the Lord, and as a result, they were not successful. You know, the context here in Joshua is to be very clear about what the key is to Joshua's success. And you can read of Joshua's success through the book of Joshua. He was careful to obey the law. And I'm sure he was careful not to turn from it, from the right or the left. He would have had it constantly on his lips, coming out of his mouth. He would have meditated on it. His focus was to be on God's word. And then he led the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, and success was his. We can also have that success, but we need to keep the conditions as laid out for us in verse 8 of Joshua. Keep my word, read my word, obey my word, memorize my word, meditate on my word. It's interesting as you consider Joshua comes just after the book of Deuteronomy. You know, the ink would have hardly been dry on the first five books of the Bible, because we know Moses wrote the book of the law as they're called, the first five books. And they were kept in the Ark of the Covenant. And the ink would have hardly been dry, especially on the book of Deuteronomy. And God told Joshua, keep my law. And that's all he had. That's all Joshua had, that first five books of the Bible. We have a lot more. We have a lot more than Joshua. We have a lot more. We have no excuse. We have the New Testament, which throws a light on the Old Testament in many ways. We have hindsight. We can look back over most of the Scripture and we can see it. We can see prophecies fulfilled. We can see God's word, the living word of God. Joshua successfully filled the shoes of Moses, those big shoes he had to fill. And he was strong and he was courageous. He had his little hiccups. He had the hiccup at Ai. He forgot to pray. He had another hiccup when the Gibeonites deceived him into a peace treaty. Joshua was human. He had his weaknesses. He failed. We fail. But he kept on going. And the very last chapter of Joshua, chapter 24, he's described as the servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord. Will God give you that title? The servant of the Lord. Will we do as Joshua did and obey the word of the Lord to the letter and be strong and very courageous in doing that? Because especially in these days, we need that. We need to be strong. We need to be courageous more than ever. And it's God's command. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and very courageous. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the many life stories that we can look at. And we can see your hand at work in men's and women's hearts and lives. And we can see them making decisions that direct their paths for the rest of their life. We thank you for Joshua and his willingness to step into those shoes of Moses and take on the command of the people. And we thank you that he was strong and he was courageous. And he did keep thy law, thy words. And we pray that each one of us here would put you first in everything. That we would read your word and observe your word and memorize your word and obey your word, just as you commanded and charged Joshua to do. And I thank you for your word that we have, and for the insights it gives us into who you are and how you work and what you expect of us. And so I thank you for this time and your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.